Okay, good morning. So let's see, so the term is getting to be half over, and so there's a midterm on Friday. Okay, and the there are two old exams on the webpage that you can look at. Let's see, and there are other facts around the webpage. So things like I want you to note are allowed, and I guess the material will be covered is through today's lecture, as I just said in the chat. Which will be on power series, this big example of what we've been doing, the convergence. And let's see, so the format will be in this regular Zoom session. With cameras, and the way that I like to have it set up is sort of, let's see if I can do this. My camera, yeah, sort of pointed at what you're working on, so like that, so sort of something like this, and plan would be to practice. I'm gonna get my camera fixed again, but is to practice that tomorrow in the quiz, just so you can make sure you got all your setup working. Okay, these cameras. And then I just upload it as you usually do, your homework. And I will have a instruction sheet, which basically says that on the webpage by tomorrow. Okay, so bureaucratic questions before we continue looking at power series that we just started right at the end of last time? Okay, well, feel free to ask later if something comes up. All right, so the situation that we're in now is we've understood something about convergence in a sort of theoretical way, but now we want some examples. And so chapter 10 is examples, and it's the power series, which are beautiful, but interesting in that they're both very useful and also very restricted in different ways. But in any case, they are what we're going to do next. So let me start with, so last time I gave some examples, but let me this time just start with the theorem, the main theorem about the power series, and then we'll do a bunch of examples employing that. So and actually let me just note that for power series, and real analytic functions, the main thing to keep in mind is that these are series, and often you end up trying to figure out series convergence for real numbers, so you should go back to chapter 4 and remind yourself how to do that. So review real number series in chapter 4. Okay, because those techniques come up again, so we're going to make use of this. All right, and so let me, as I said, just make the theorem here, theorem 10.3, which is the main fact about them. And so if we have a power series, let me call it S, and it's a power series, just as I wrote down last time, so a sum of a n times x minus c to the n, where n runs from 0 to infinity. And remember what this means. So this equals here means a pointwise limit. Right, because the right-hand side is a infinite sum and therefore a limit itself. Okay, so that's what it is. Then we have a number, the radius of convergence associated to it. So there is R or R sub S, the radius of convergence which is definition 10.4 with and it, as suggested by its name, tells us something about the convergence. And it tells us, I'm going to write down four facts about convergence that come from it. So fact A, if we have something that's farther than R away from C, then it diverges. So if the distance from X to C is bigger than R, then this sum diverges. B, if it's less, then it converges. And it actually converges very well. And if you go back to chapter four, one of the nicest types of convergence you can hope for is absolute convergence. And that's what it does, absolutely. Okay, but that's a really good form of convergence. So in particular, this means that S of X converges pointwise in this interval from C minus R to C plus R. Okay. So that's one fact about convergence. And I advertised that I'd say four things. I've got two so far. So the second one, of course, is we'd like to know when it converges uniformly, because that's what works out well for us. And so, and that actually is almost as often as you would hope, not quite as good as this, but almost. So if you have R, little r, say smaller than big R, then it converges uniformly in the interval from, and now it's going to be the closed interval from C minus little r to C plus little r. So as long as you cut some little bit off of the ends, then it converges uniformly, okay? And D actually is a admission that we don't know what's going on. So C at C plus R and C at C minus, S at C minus R are unclear. And usually we just kind of ignore the, avoid worrying about those. So are mysterious and usually ignored. So usually we just avoid those and work in some regime where we have uniform convergence, where we stay away from those endpoints, okay? There are interesting things to say about it, but they tend not to be the most important aspect of what's going on. Okay, so that's our main theorem. And let me just recall a couple of convergence. Actually, maybe I'll just start by proving this theorem and then do some examples where we compute these R's. So proof. And actually, already we're going to start recalling facts from chapter four, because chapter four, as I said, is really where all this comes from. So let me start with one useful fact from chapter four, which is the geometric series, because that's the one that's going to come up. So recall from chapter four, example 4.2. And also we've used it recently, so hopefully it's something you remember. If we have some number b between 0 and 1, then when we take the sum of b to the n, n running from 0 to infinity, this is just 1 over 1 minus b. Okay, and that's going to be a very handy fact, geometric series. Okay, and so now we can go ahead with the proof. So actually, for the case of, for this proof, I might as well take C to be a zero. It just simplifies the notation. Everything is otherwise the same. So I'm just going to assume C is zero for convenience. So for simple notation, assume C is equal to zero. Okay, so we're just gonna work around zero. Okay, and so now I'm gonna tell you what R is. So set R sub S, it's just gonna be the soup over the set of all absolute values of X so that it does converge, which is what you would hope. So the so that S of X converges. Okay, and now I have to go through and show that this R works. Okay, and then we'll be done. So A is then immediate, is immediate from the definition. Right, I just took it to be the biggest value for which it converges. So obviously if it's bigger than that, it doesn't converge. So that's what A says. If it's bigger, it doesn't converge. Okay, and so that's A. All right, so then B, and this is the main point here. We want to say that it converges absolutely inside of there. And so B. All right, so to be inside of there means that it's smaller, that we're looking at some point inside of here. So some point where the absolute value is smaller than some place where it converges. So B, if S of X converges, and y is smaller than x, okay, then I want to show that it also converges at y, and then that it converges absolutely at y, and then we will be done with b. Okay, so so the first thing to notice is that if I have a convergent series, then the sequence also converges and in fact to zero. So let me just cite the theorem in chapter four. So by 4.6, this soup of the collection of sizes of, so absolute values of a n x to the n exists. So let me just call it m, but the key is that it's less than infinity, right? Because if I have a sum that converges, then the terms eventually go to zero, and so they have a maximum value. In any case, that's also summarized in 4.6, if you've forgotten that. All right, so this gives us a maximum value that we're gonna see as we go along here. All right, so now we can look at the sum that we're interested in. So the sum of an y to the n, okay, and n equals zero to infinity, and this is the one that we want to be convergent, right? That's our claim, is that's convergent. Well, so first of all, we're going to actually prove that it's absolutely convergent. So first we're going to go to absolute, so that means that instead of taking the sum and then taking the absolute value, we're going to take the absolute value of the sum, which could be bigger, right? So that's actually the sum that we're going to compute a bound on, okay? The best thing we could hope for. All right, and now what we know, of course, is something about x, and we want something about y, okay? So we're going to rewrite this in terms of x's. So this is then equal to the sum n equals zero to infinity of an x to the n, right? Which is the thing that we know something about. But then we have to put y's back in. So this is times y over x. I guess that should be absolute value. Anyway, I'm just gonna write the same thing, but absolute value of y over x to the n. Okay, so I'm gonna put the y's back. And the idea is that we have some control over these terms, and this is what this, we also have control over this one because it's less than one, and we have control over this one because it's less than m, and so then we'll be done. Okay, so then this is, less than or equal to, so I'm going to replace that first term with m, because all of those are less than m, and then the second one is I'm going to replace with this power series, right? And so this then with this geometric series, and so I just get one over one minus b, and b is y over x. Okay, And since y has absolute value less than x, this is less than 1, and so this is finite. And we're done, okay? Any questions about that? That's the heart of the argument. Okay, so that's the converges at every point inside of that radius and diverges outside. Okay, so it's got this sharp threshold at R. Okay, and then I have two other facts. So it actually converges uniformly, but we basically just saw that because I just wrote basically a bound right here. Okay, so that's going to give me my bound. So but let me just write it out. So if I want to say that the soup norm of this sum n equals let's say a capital N to infinity of am 1 to the n. Okay. So remember that if I can show that this is going to 0, then by, let me just note down here, by theorem, I guess it was 9.21, we have uniform convergence. Converges uniformly in the regime of interest. So I guess I wrote it as what do I call it? And see here, it's from little r to r minus little r to positive little r. Okay, so this is less than or equal to. Okay, and so now we just compute, and so this is what we advertised, remember, was to just do it term-wise, just like I did up above, but we can now do it for the sequence if we like. So this is, let's go to the sum, n equals capital N to infinity, and then we're just gonna do it term-wise. So a n y to the n. Okay, and this is then less than or equal to exactly what we just wrote up above. So the sum m times, y to the n over x to the n. Just like we did above. So it's really just the same computation. And this is now running from capital N to infinity. All right, and so this is, it goes to 0. So this is equal to m times, and this time it's y to the n over x to the n times 1 over 1 minus y over x. Right, because we started, oh, sorry, that should be capital N, because we started up here at capital N, right? And that goes to 0. Okay, so we're done. Okay, and D, I guess D isn't really a theorem, D is just a point that we're kind of going to ignore the end points. All right, any questions about the statement of the theorem? I'm just about to do a bunch of examples, so hopefully that'll clarify. Okay. All right, so let's compute some of these. So computing radii of convergence. Okay, and so let me just recall some facts about limits of series. Let me just recall some facts about limits of series. So so this is from chapter 4. So we already had one, the geometric series. That's a really nice one. But then you can do a whole bunch of others. So the other main facts you're going to use are 4.19 comparison. So that says something like the absolute value of the sum of, say, sine of n over 2 to the n, right? So this is going to be less than or equal to the sum of the, well, we can replace that sine with 1, and so 1 over 2 to the n, right, which is equal to 2. Okay, so that gives us a way to bound, even though that left hand, the original sum is really hard to actually compute. I have no idea what it is because we're plugging in integers into a sign, which is a horribly complicated thing, but we know that it's at most one. Okay, so this gives us a way to get bounds. The other main one actually that we're gonna use is 4.24, the ratio test, by far the most useful in this setting. And that says that this sum converges if the limit of the ratio of a n plus 1 over a n in absolute value is strictly less than 1. And this, as I said, is an extremely useful one. Let me just mention one other one, the integral test. Is sometimes handy. So that says that if f is, say, increasing, and the integral from 1 to infinity of f of x dx is finite, then the sum of f of n runs from 1 to infinity is finite. Okay, so that's also handy. So for example, we get something like the sum of one over n squared, n runs from one to infinity, converges since the integral from one to infinity of dx over x squared minus two over x from one to infinity is two, which is finite. Okay, so that's it. Another useful trick. So those are the tricks you may recall from previously. All right, so now let's use those for some power series. So let me just list a bunch of power series. I'll do a couple examples and let you try some in breakout room. So example power series. So last time I looked at two and I'll just finish those two up. So example one is from last time. The sum of x to the n okay and I'll just list a whole bunch of them and then I'll come back and do these first two that I did last time. The sum let me leave off the bounds because we know where they are. So x to the n over n factorial number three. Let me look at the sum of let me move that factorial. So n factorial x to the n. Okay, so that's fairly different. Four, let me look at the sum n minus one times x to the n. Five, sum one on n x to the n. Okay, so either multiply or divide by n. Let's see, here's another one. We can look at six, the sum of x over 2 to the n. Okay, so we can divide by something. Let's see, here's one, number 7, the sum x minus 1 over 2 to the n. Okay, so that one also you should realize is a power series, although it's not centered at 0 like the previous ones were, right? And let's see, just a couple more, just two more. So 2 to the n, oops, I lost my sum. 2 to the n, n squared x to the n. So you can have both powers and exponents coming in there. And you can also just do things that involve the comparison test. So you can have some odd functions like, say, sine of n, as long as you have enough control that you can get a bound. Okay, so you can figure out what those are. Okay, so find R. Okay, and so let me just do, do an example, do two of them over here, and then let you try some of the others. So, so let me start with numbers 1 and 2, so the ones that we looked at last time. And as suggested, I'm going to use the ratio test. Okay, so that tells me that that if the ratio, so the limit as n goes to infinity of, okay, and I just have to look at, so what is the n plus first term? So it's supposed to be the n plus first term divided by the nth term. So is that clear? So I'm looking at this one here, okay, and so what's gonna go in this numerator here? Right, is that clear? It's gonna be just exactly this x to the n plus one. Right, so the whole thing just goes there. So x to the n plus one divided by x to the n. Right, so that's my, so this is less than one. So if that's less than one, then I have won by this ratio test. Is that clear? Okay, so that's what I want. Okay, and so now that's, of course, easy to compute because x to the n plus one over x to the n is just x. So we're in good shape. So this is then equal to the limit as n goes to infinity of x, which is just x. As long as x is less than one, it converges. So we know that r is bigger than or equal to one. And it's easy to check that in fact, it's if you plug in one, it diverges, so x is equal to one. And sum of one diverges. So we have that r is equal to one. Okay, so that's how we get the radius of convergence. Any question about that one? Okay, and actually we even know what it converges to, right? So this, let me just write it over here. So what is that function? And by this, I'm gonna mean pointwise. Okay. So this is one over one minus x. And we can see that, we saw that earlier by using the Taylor-Lagrange theorem, right? So that told us what that was actually equal to just by taking its derivatives. So this is by Taylor-Lagrange. Okay. Okay, but that's not quite true, right? So so what do I have to say here? So this is if, which x's am I allowed to plug in? See, on the right-hand side, I can plug in any x except one, right? And it makes sense and I get a number. But on the left-hand side, I can't do that, right? So what, which x's can I plug into that left-hand side? Yeah. So I can't do, yeah, they can't be bigger than one, that's right. But they also can't be, what's the smallest they can be? Could I plug in negative two? No, right. So what's the smallest it could be? See, we just computed what this radius r is here, right? So let me write the answer and then see if that makes sense. Yeah, okay, now I'm getting the answer here in the chat box, right. So I can put in any number between minus one and one to the left-hand side, and I can put in any number except one on the right-hand side. So the right-hand side is defined many more values than the left-hand side. As long as x is between minus one and one, then these two, they're the same, okay. But if we're outside of that regime, the right-hand side sometimes usually makes sense, except at one, and the left-hand side never does, okay? So they only agree within that regime, okay? All right. And this is minus RR, right? So it's our radius of convergence, okay? Okay, and let's do the next one. So the next one we also know from Taylor-Lagrange. And so which function was that one? Oh, sorry. Let me finish the radius of convergence. Sorry, let me do the radius of convergence. You can also think about what the answer is, but let's do the radius of convergence using the ratio test again. So use a ratio test. And again, we want this limit as n goes to infinity of, and now we have to write down what the terms are, right? So we just plug in the n plus first term, and it's easy to get your reciprocal is confused, so I try to write it out carefully. So x to the n plus 1 over n plus 1 factorial divided by x to the n over n factorial, right? So that's what the ratio test asks that I compute, and I want to get it to be less than 1. Okay, and so so what is that? So this is limiting goes to infinity. And getting all the ratios right, you're always going to be left with one x in the numerator when you do this. But then you just have to figure out what's left here, and it's going to be divided by n plus 1. Does anyone want me to add more detail, or is that clear? So the n factorial is canceling, you're left with an n plus 1. Just n plus 1. Okay. And what is that limit? Exactly. And the thing to keep in mind is that x is fixed, right? So we've just fixed some x, right? And then n is the thing that we're changing, right? So n is going to infinity. So whatever x was, this one is eventually going to become small, okay? So that's going to be 0. Okay, so actually, I'm not sure I was careful, but anyway, what does that make R? Let's see what R is. Sorry. I didn't quite say where R lives. I apologize. I should have said that. I should have written it here, and I'll write it now in red. So you can, there's a convergence in 0, and usually you allow infinity. So that's the notation, is that we say that this one has a radius equal to infinity. Okay, because for every r, for every x it works. Okay, all right. So then if we go back over here to our example, so and from Taylor-Lagrange, do people remember which function we got that power series from by taking its derivatives and plugging it in? Yeah, that was e to the x. So this is e to the x. And which values of x do we allow this time? Yeah. Since any real number. Because r is infinite there. Okay, any questions about how one might go about this? Because now I want to give you some time in the breakout rooms to try to compute some of the remaining 7 here. Okay. All right, so yeah, I'll give you a few minutes, and maybe I'll try stopping in to some of the breakout rooms and see how people are doing, if I can do that. Okay, let's see. So how did we do? So number three. So did anyone manage to figure out on this first one what the radius is?
We were thinking that this actually diverged in all cases.
Pretty much, yeah.
We wouldn't have one.
Sort of, actually, but see, I allowed zero. So
okay.
Yeah, because if I plug in zero, one. Right, so that's right. It diverges in pretty much all cases. So what we write is that R is equal to zero, and this is just equal to, I guess it's the function, I guess it's one if x is equal to zero and zero and undefined otherwise. Right. Good. Okay. Number four.
We got the same result as number one.
As number one, good, yep. So even though we've made it look bigger, still we get R equals one. Right, that's correct, because those n's wash out. And actually, can anyone see how the number one and number four are related? Well, think about it for a minute.
It's the derivative of it.
It's the derivative, that's right. So did everyone see that? So if I take the derivative of this first one term by term, I'm going to get zero for the first term, and then I'm going to get one times one. I'm going to get one, and then I'm going to get two times, whatever it is, it's a zero, and then those terms, sorry. Okay, in any case, so that should be the derivative. Sorry, actually, it's not quite, is it? I see what I did. I wrote the wrong thing. I apologize. But let me fix it and then write the right answer. So it should have been a plus. That's why I got confused right there. Okay. In any case, then it is the derivative, just as you had suggested it should be. And so then, in fact, we do get the derivative. So this is 1 over 1 minus x squared. And since you've computed the R, for which values of X is that good?
Should be minus one and one, right?
Exactly, right. Just like before. And just like before, if we're outside of that regime, this is fine, but this is not, right? So it's one side works and the other doesn't. Okay, what about the next one?
I also got the same thing as the first one.
Very good. Okay. Once again, it didn't change the radius of convergence. And that's actually a feature of these, is that often the radius of convergence stays the same when you act on them with algebraic tricks, and that's very helpful. And so in particular, how did we get this one from number one?
Well, we ended up with the limit of x times n over n plus 1, which just the n part would converge to 1. So you're just left with x again.
Correct. Right. Mm-hmm. That's where we got the R. That's right. Okay. And now, how about how I got this power series from that power series? So this one I got by taking a derivative. How about this one?
Looks a lot like an integral.
It does, and it is, right? So that's the antiderivative. If I take the derivative of this one, then I get back up to here, right? So this is the antiderivative of the integral. And you know what the integral of that is, right? So it's going to be natural log. And again, of course, this is only true as long as we're inside of the radius of convergence, okay? All right, and let's see. So how about the next one?
Is that R equals 2?
Mm-hmm. Okay, did everyone get that? So when you take that ratio, this time you'll get an extra power of 2, and so you end up with a 2. So this has R equals 2. Okay, and can anyone see how I got that one from number 1? Which function is that? So I claim all I did was I plugged in x over 2 for x. So I did a substitution. So that's how I got it. And so this is a 1 over 1 minus x over 2. And if I clear denominator so it looks tidier, that gives me 2 over 2 minus x. And this time, of course, the radius is 2, so this is only holds if x lies between minus 2 and 2, okay? So that's the, all right, let's see, what did people get for the next one?
Should that be 3?
This is a confusing point. So the any other guesses? So I think it's not 3.
A 2?
Yeah, I think it's 2, but a 3 is relevant. And so where is the 3 relevant? So about what point is this one? So all the others we've looked at are about 0, right? And this one's a different point. So what's the center of this one?
1.
Yeah, that's right. So where does the 3 come in? We're adding and subtracting 2 from 1. All right, so this is between minus 1 and 3, right? So it's 1 minus 2 and 1 plus 2. So that's where 3 is relevant. Okay. Does that make sense to everyone? So that's what it's. Okay. And so and again, how do I get this one from the first case? So maybe I'll just notice here, this one's centered at 1.
It's just another transformation of 1, right?
That's right. It's just another transformation. And it's another substitution. So I can write it as 1 over 1 minus x minus 1 over 2. And when I clear the denominators there, I'm going to get 2 over, let's see, it's going to be a 2 minus 1. So 1 minus x. So it's not just a transformation. It's almost the same function, right? It just differs by a factor of 2. If I'd stuck in a 1/2, let me just do that because it's tidier. So if I put in a 1/2 over here, then we would get a 1/2 here. And so then this would just be a 1. All right. And the radius of convergence stays the same. And so we get back the same function as 1, sort of, except this one's defined in a larger regime. right? So this is a better approximation to this function because it's true in a larger regime, right? But otherwise, they're both ways of getting at that function, but one deals with it all the way up to 3, and this one only up to 1, okay? So that's one of the most useful properties of these power series. So you can use these different centers to get different facts. Okay, very good. Let's just finish up. So what about this last 2? So number 8 here, what did people get for the radius? I guess you may not have got this far. There's a lot of them to do.
Yeah, I didn't get to it, but this looks like it's going to be 1 again, right?
Well, actually, I claim that you can kind of eyeball it, but it's not 1, but it's but why not? So this, you're right that part of it doesn't matter, right? This n squared, right? That's a lot like putting that n out here, right? And that's not going to have an effect. But what's this 2 to the n going to do?
We'll leave it 2.
It's going to make it actually. Test? Yeah, you're going to use the ratio test, and you have to keep track of whether the 2 is on top or bottom. And the easy way to keep track of that is if I want this this thing to be around 1, then I need x to be around 1/2. So it's going to be 1/2 instead of 2. So notice this one gave us 2, and this is going to give us 1/2. And as you say, this one is not going to matter much for the radius of convergence. So that's how you read these. And so but you could, of course, write out the ratio test and should, but you'll end up with r equals 1/2. Okay, is there any question about that? Should I do that in more detail? Is it clear how that's gonna work? Okay. All right, and what about this last one? So this one, I'm actually not going to be able to get it precisely because I have so little control over exactly what the values are here, but at least I know they're at most 1, right? So these are bounded here. So I can again kind of ignore this by using the comparison test and then I'll use the ratio test and that'll give me the 1/2. So this is 1/2 by comparison plus ratio. Okay, any question about how you do those? How you find those? Okay, so let me just state a few facts that are handy about such functions, including the ones basically that we've already seen, that we get this nice relationship between derivatives and integrals in the original functions. Okay, so that's very useful. So algebraic properties. Of a power series. Okay, so let's see, let me get the theorem numbers right. Okay, so the first thing to notice is that it's a linear space. So let me start this way. If we have two power series, so S and T, and let's say they're about the same point. And they have their own radii of convergence. So with radii of convergence, let me just write RS and RT. Okay, so we have these two radii of convergence. Then we can go through and try to do our usual algebraic facts. So then Well, if I just multiply it by a constant, of course, that's not going to do anything, right? So if k is in R, and then we throw out zero, then of course, k times s, obviously nothing really has happened, right? So k times s has a radius of convergence. Let me write it this way. So R sub k times s is equal to R sub s, right? So it doesn't change the radius. I hope my notation is clear. So yeah. Okay, what about the sum? So what about S plus T? Oh, sorry, let me say which one is bigger just so for convenience. So let me say that S is small, RS is smaller. Just so you know which one it is. Okay, so which one is inside the other. All right, so what about the sum? So think about it for a second. There's sort of a reflexive answer, which is wrong. And then there's, if you think for a second, you can maybe guess which is correct.
R of S?
That's right. Okay, so it's not R of S plus R of T, it's R of S, right? Because as long as they both converge, then you're golden, right? Then you can add them and it still converges. But once you're outside where they converge, maybe they'll cancel, probably not though. And so so you know that it's, it could be bigger, but it's unlikely. But in any case, it's a less than or equal to R of S. Okay, that makes me know. I'm sorry, bigger than or equal to. Where did I write that? Sorry. Right, yeah, could be bigger, but we know it's at least R of S. Right. Okay. This one's trickier. This is a theorem, proposition 10.15. But the same holds for the product. So S of X times T of X also has the radius of convergence, at least as long as both of them converge, then the whole thing does. And it takes a little bit more writing out to figure out, but it's also true. Okay, and then by far the most interesting is the one that we just observed, and that is that I guess this is propositions 10.20, and that is that if I take the term-wise derivative, this has a radius of convergence, which is just the same as the original one, and that's what we observed up above. This extra n here didn't have any impact on the limit of the ratio, right? So it didn't change it. So that's the key. And similarly, if we take the antiderivative, so the integral s of x dx from also has the same radius of convergence. Okay, so as a corollary, if we have a function which is obtained as a power series, so if S of X is a power series, with radius convergence R, then not only is it then for any little r smaller than R, right, we have this uniform convergence, and it converges uniformly for all the derivatives also. So because of what we just had above. So we actually have that S lives in, I think we called it C infinity right at the beginning. So it's got all its derivatives, okay? And they're all continuous. And that works inside of the radius convergence minus little r to the radius convergence, the center minus little r to the center plus r. So again, as long as you chop off a little bit at the ends, then you get exactly what you want. Okay, that's it. And I guess on Wednesday I'll try to review material, and then on Friday we have the exam.